Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, once again, thanks to the great Eddie Olczyk, NHL on TNT, and you heard he'll be calling the Winter Olympics on NBC, and, you know, part of the Kentucky Derby coverage as well. So always appreciate having a great guest like him who can talk about a number of different things, and he's so passionate about it. He's not like, oh, got to do the Olympics. I mean, he loves it. He lives it. Breathes it, eats it, smells it. And what a great story. If you haven't seen that video yet, do look it up when he surprised his son on the Utah Mammoth Pro. And we got a little breaking news. Looks like the NHL Winter Classic next year is going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah. I presume where the University of Utah plays. I can't imagine it's anywhere else. I'm not aware of any other place that would be big enough, but, you know, there you go. All right, so here's where we wanted to go with the show. I mean, we opened up, obviously, talking about John Harbaugh's firing in Baltimore. Then a little preview of the Cap Stars and the Winter Classic and the NHL Olympics and horse racing and Laurel and Pimlico and just, you know, everything with Eddie O. So now we got to get to the meat and potatoes of what probably most people in our audience care about, which is the continued fallout from the Cliff Kingsbury firing. And the latest report that we have is, and people are starting to put two and two, like Cliff Kingsbury and Lamar in Baltimore. We'll see how that plays out. But Jordan Schultz, who is longtime NFL insider, he's worked for a number of different outlets. I don't know who he's worked. He's with FS1 now, I guess it is, or Fox. I don't know. Whatever it is, he's bounced around to a lot of places. But, you know, very popular on Twitter, at Schultz Report, at Schultz underscore report, I should say, at Schultz underscore report. And he's got a lot of breaking news, right? So he said part of the issue, according to sources, the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use. An ongoing problem dating back to 2024 when they were having success. That's just one part of this. That's the benign part of this. That's just the mild part of this. You want some serious heat? You want some hot sauce? With the team struggling this year, it reached new heights, not the Kelce podcast that you all listen to, that where they curse every 5 minutes. And there were notable disagreements. This is where it gets spicy. Moreover, I have not gotten the impression, he's not saying I know for a fact, he's saying I have not gotten the impression that Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. The last part. The entire disconnect is one to watch as we head into 2026. Quote, there's a lot of beep with the S word going on there. End quote. Said a source. Whoa. 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 I mean, that's about as damning of a, certainly it's about as damning of a report as we've seen from this team in that building probably since training camp of Ron's last year, 2023, with the Eric Bieniemy and the players hating him stuff. Probably. Right? Because everything else that happened after that was pretty much standard par for the course, and there's been nothing like this since then. So I'm going to open up the phones to you at 301-230-0980. And listen, if you call every day, we got to make it quicker. We got to get through it quicker. Okay, so we get more calls in and different voices. All right? I'm trying not to make rules, hard and fast rules here, but we've got to do this quicker. Okay? Just trust me on that. We've got to do it quicker. You know, Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn apparently couldn't figure out and solve their issues. I don't want to get to that point where I got to divorce myself from you guys and do the show without calls. But we got to do it quicker. Okay? But anyway, think about where this is right now. Now, this is literally just a report. I'm sure the team, I'm sure Adam Peters, I'm sure Dan Quinn would absolutely deny this to the high heavens. But on Saturday, we got, hey, Cliff Kingsbury and Adam Peters have friction. On Monday, Dan Quinn wouldn't defend, advocate, what have you, for Cliff Kingsbury. He mentioned him, wouldn't defend or advocate or say, hey, we really believe in Cliff or anything like that. Now, I wasn't directly asked that, but didn't say that. On Tuesday morning, he was fired. Or you can call it whatever you want, mutual parting of the ways, whatever. And now we have this. Again, I thought it was very odd that the way Diana framed the report was there were friction between Cliff and Adam Peters. And now Jordan Schultz is saying Dan Quinn didn't really want to move on from his coordinators. He was kind of pressured into it or forced into it or cajoled into it. By who? I wonder. Then you have the part of the report where the front office, Adam Peters, I guess Lance Newmark, maybe Josh Harris, who knows? But certainly you would say the front office, Adam Peters, maybe Lance Newmark, I don't know, would be meddling with the coaches on who should be playing and who should not be playing with all the injuries and all the struggles and all that. And I try to figure out, who could they be talking about if that's true? Because again, I'll just say like with anything, like I believe certainly these conversations happened. These meetings happened. These suggestions were made. It doesn't mean that they were making orders. It means that it was happening. And the way it's termed is meddling with the coaching staff on personnel. And oh, by the way, they said it happened last year. It happened last year. So this is not just a this year thing. But this year, it gets further, exasperated, whatever that word is. I can't say that word. It gets further stretched, I guess. And I wonder, when you're talking about that, who you're talking about, and the names that just start popping up in my mind on the offensive side of the ball, that Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, whoever, maybe Josh Harris, maybe the scouts, I don't know, those guys that were not playing and maybe they wanted to play and have a bigger role, or maybe some of the players that were playing that they didn't want to have a bigger role, just specifically on offense, would be Ben Sinnott, Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, maybe Chris Rodriguez early. Remember when he was not active? the first couple of games, and then all of a sudden he was running the ball down the Raiders' throat in week three. And then Treylon Burks. Adam Peters mentioned him a couple of times. Colson Yankoff, the fourth tight end. Like, we can't say Josh Connerly. Josh Connerly played the whole year at right tackle. Chris Paul, maybe early on, over Brandon Coleman. But then Chris Paul came in week four, or whatever, week three, week four, whatever it was, and he played the rest of the year. I mean, this could go back all the way to the beginning of the year. This could be at times throughout the year. And according to Schultz, at times last year. And last year, you know, like, I mean, you can kind of wonder, hey, man, did we get Ben Sinnott involved enough instead of more and more and more and more and more and more Zach Ertz? Did we get Chris Rodriguez in instead of Brian Robinson? Did we get, like, these are all the questions that you have. And that's just on offense. On defense, obviously, Jordan McGee, right? Who else would stand out besides Jordan McGee? Johnny Newton to a lesser degree? Maybe Tyler Owens at safety? Remember, he started the Kansas City game, but didn't really play a huge role defensively. Even with Quan Martin struggling miserably and Will Harris out for a long stretch of time. Maybe the veteran corner, what was his name, Antonio Hamilton or whatever his name was, the kid that played really well against, 31-year-old that played well, really well against the Giants. I don't know. But the report is pretty damning. The Commanders have had, in the building, a problem with the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use. An ongoing problem dating back to 2024. With the team struggling this year, it reached new heights, and there were notable disagreements. Jordan Schultz, I have not gotten the impression, not that he's saying he knows for sure, but he has not gotten the impression that Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. Both are gone. Then the entire disconnect is one to watch as we head into 2026. Quote, there's a lot of beep going on there, a source said. Now, I don't know where that source is. I don't know if he's in the building, out of the building. I don't know. You tell me which part of this is good. You tell me which part of this is makes you feel warm. You tell me, because none of it sounds good to me. If you thought we had problems yesterday with who's going to be the next coordinators, if you thought we had problems. Now, even though they will deny this until kingdom come, and by the way, they're not going to make Dan Quinn and or Adam Peters, I don't think, available, even if they hire new coordinators, which obviously they will, until the combine. They might have a press conference for the new coordinators. It's possible Dan Quinn would be in that, but not definitive. My guess is they are going to hold off on answering any questions. And they waited specifically until Tuesday morning to fire Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury so that they didn't have to answer questions about that on Monday. This is all done by design, guys. This is all done to minimize negativity, PR hit, all of that. They can say nothing to do with it. They can say they didn't think about it until Tuesday morning. Again, they can say all that they want. None of that is true in my eyes. They knew this was happening. They knew there was a disconnect. They knew there was friction. Plenty of people, or at least a couple of people, knew about it. Got it to Diana. Diana blew the lid off of it. And by Tuesday morning, again, no surprise on Joe Witt. The only surprise was, well, would Joe Witt stay around in a reduced role? just to help out like he did second half of the season? Well, the last, I should say, month and a half of the season, or not? That was it. Instead, he got fired. No, but trust me, I mean, Joe Witt's a nice guy, I'm sure. Nobody will miss him. There was no arriving violently. There was no ball is life. There was no nothing. And Cliff, it was kind of robotic, right? Cliff wasn't warm and overly friendly, but Cliff wasn't a jerk. Cliff is not being fired because he can't coach. It's because there's a huge philosophical divide. And apparently it's because, well, the GM, the assistant GM, maybe, the front office, the GM, maybe the owner is saying, no, you shouldn't play that guy. You should play that guy. And, oh, by the way, that leads us to another element of this. You shouldn't play that guy. You should play that guy. You shouldn't play that guy. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. It's something we've already mentioned twice, more than twice, this week. I'll have it for you next. And your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I believe the last part of this coming straight up next on the Team 980. Stay with us.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Good to have you with us right here on a Wednesday afternoon, middle of the week, middle of the show. And time to get to you on the phones. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Again, make it quick. Please help me out before I get in any trouble. But the bottom line is, this is a pretty damning report. I had a completely different plan for the show today. I had a bunch of other questions. We'll have to save that for tomorrow. If Jordan Schultz's report is even remotely true, and you can't say there's no chance that it is, because Diana Rossini's report, which many of you said, oh, it's just typical media bullcrap and this, that, and the other thing. Diana Rossini's report essentially turned out to be true too. Okay? So I have no reason to think that this is completely made up. Is some of it maybe over-exaggerated? Sure. But, I mean, there is at least three damning things here. Front office meddling in the roster and who plays and who doesn't. It got worse this year. No surprise. Dan Quinn didn't want to move on, apparently, from his coordinators. And the entire disconnect is being called, quote, a lot of poop, using a different word, going on there. Before we get to the calls, we talked about some of the potential players that this could be about just on offense, right? Ben Sinnott's, maybe your Treylon Burks, your Chris Pauls early in the year. What name didn't I put on that list? Jaden Daniels. Part of the issue the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use. What if Adam Peters said, no, Doug, I don't want this kid playing. He's not ready. He's not seeing it. We're not protecting him. You're calling too reckless of a game. What if this came down to the quarterback? And mostly about the quarterback. I believe, as I mentioned on Monday, and I reiterated yesterday, I believe that the reason why Jaden Daniels was shut down with 3+ games to go is because Adam Peters didn't want him to play. Didn't want him to get injured again. Didn't want him to get exposed again. Didn't want to ruin the offseason. Didn't want to set back his development even more. Because they didn't have faith that Cliff and the offense was going to be able to keep him standing upright and on the field. And what if it turned into something catastrophic as opposed to a hamstring, a knee, a sprained knee, or an elbow? What if it turned into a torn ACL? Right? Or something even worse. I don't know. So, could this mostly be about Jaden? Sure. All right, let's get out to you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Toothpick here in the leadoff spot. I think this is the first time we've had a chance to get to the calls today. Pick, how are you?
I'm good, Rooster. Listen, man, you over there, crowing again, man. Listen, I want them angry right now, right? I want there to be smoke and fire because you're 5-12, right?
Yep.
In all actuality. So you can't be happy when you're 5-12. I don't want you happy when you're 5-12. That's not a good mark. So my question is where was Cliff and his boys, where were they at when things were going bad during the season? You didn't hear agents talking then. So you can't talk now. All right. Thanks, Rooster. I appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you, Pick. Appreciate you. I was a little confused on who he was talking about. Like, where were you then? I assume he was talking about whoever was chirping to Diana from inside the building. I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes guys get really frustrated at the end of a season and crap comes out that you were doing. You know, like, look, I complain about everything, right? I mean, you guys think I complain just about traffic. No, I complain about how little help we have, you know? I mean, when Eddie Olczyk was talking about how everything's been cut and slashed across the board and no worse than radio, I promise you that. TV's got 1 million people. The Grant and Danny Show have 14 producers. I got one.
Present.
Raise your hand. You put your left hand up like a true Commanders fan. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you put your right hand up like a true Giants / Jets Buffalo / Miami / am I missing anyone?
Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Don't do this to me. 49ers.
Well, I haven't seen a cup mug or any other paraphernalia.
That's what you have to have?
Yeah.
Okay.
To solidify.
I mean, I'm a Rams guy because of, you know, Sean McVay and Ben Kutwika.
You like a coach?
I love coaches.
Well,
see, if you don't think I like coaches, you ain't listening. I defend them all the time. Anyway.
But you think place kickers are more important?
Well, I say place kickers lead to more wins and losses. There's a difference. Let's get to the Mark and Largo show and try and see how this goes. Mark and Largo, are you going to be on your best behavior? Because I listened back to your phone call yesterday, and man, were you on fire because you think I'm Kevin Sheehan Jr.
Yes, I will be on. Well, Kevin Sheehan is pretty much having me blackballed from the show, period, until further notice.
I wonder why, Mark. I wonder why.
I understand. Look, all seriousness right now, Adam Peters is clearly the culprit in this. But that's over and done with right now. If I'm Josh Harris, I think, like I said to you about a month ago, and I said this, I reiterated this in December. I think this needs to be said again. Josh needs to go to Adam and ask him, do you need some help, man? Do you clearly need some help? Because you need to focus on your brand, your area of expertise, and get another set of eyes that may can say, no, I don't think that's a good idea, and let him run this team the way he's supposed to run this team. I do think this is what people have to understand. This is technically Adam Peters' first job. What a lot of people aren't talking about. This is his first GM job. He's been assistant GM. He's been a scout. He's been a lot of things. But this is his first GM job. And I think, you know, it doesn't surprise me with the pushing of you forgot to mention Luke McCaffrey as well too, along with Ben Sennett. And look, if they could, if they saw something of Ben Sennett, Ben Sennett would have been playing more than what he's been doing. I trust Cliff Kingsbury to know he knows who's talented and who's not talented. So that's going to be a problem. I mean, it's areas if they think that they if they think they have a tight end, an athletic tight end, then you're going to have a problem. But I do think Adam Peters clearly needs another set of eyes. Call up to Philadelphia, see if you can get somebody to come in and work with you, not above you, but work with you to say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you need to do this, need to do that, and let Dan do what he has to do. All jokes aside, man, because this time next year, if we're like this, everybody's getting blown out. Just that simple. But the other thing I want to say, this is bad for the local area media. If everybody outside of the media is talking about this, and none of you guys were aware of this going on, this is bad on y'all part. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. How is it bad on my part? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm as calm as I've ever been. I'm 52 years old. I got 1 foot in the ground. I don't live and die by this stuff. Those days are over. They win, they win. They lose, they lose. I talk about it either way. I want them to win because it's better. My job is to do an entertaining radio show, which I think we do every day. It's not to make the team win. It's not to make the team mad. It's to do an entertaining radio show. That's it, period. All right. Trending alert or no? All right, let's do that right here, right now. Back to the calls in a sec. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. All right, so the Commanders moving on from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. Well, there's breaking news now that says from Adam Schefter first and confirmed by others that the Commanders have requested an interview with Raiders defensive coordinator Patrick Graham for their defensive coordinator job. So that's interesting because the Raiders defense was not very good, but also because Max Crosby was a part of that defense, and he's disgruntled. Something to keep in mind. Something we'll be talking about as we move along. Meanwhile, of course, the firing of John Harbaugh, we started the show off with that. He is considered a favorite for the New York Giants job. Certainly a betting favorite, or an odds-on favorite in that regard. Raheem Morris is going to interview with at least three teams in person over the next week, including the New York Giants and others. And tonight, as we mentioned with Eddie Olczyk, great conversation with him. You can check it out in the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, the Odyssey app, NHL on TNT, 7 o'clock, and over on 106.7 The Fan for John Walton and the radio call for the Dallas Stars and the Washington Capitals. Capitals putting Alexei Protas on IR today, and they've recalled Brett Leeson from Hershey. And that's what's trending.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, so we continue to react to the Jordan Schultz report, which is pretty damning. Even if half of it is true, it's damning, it's bad. It feels like we're back to the circus and the zoo again. Now, the one notable thing that I will say is Josh Harris is not Dan Snyder. The other notable thing I will say is Adam Peters is not Bruce Allen. Whether it'll work, whether they're as squeaky clean and pristine as we all thought they were or wanted them to be, or expected them to be. I mean, listen, football is a competitive grind. There is a lot of machismo running through that building, even without those ass clowns. There's a lot of competitive frustration. So nobody should be surprised that things are wonky. The level of dysfunction would concern me very much. What people are telling outsiders, Jordan Schultz, would worry me very much. Whether they're exactly in the building or whether they're being told this by people in the building, I don't know. I don't know how much of it is true. But either way, we know this, and we mentioned during the trending alert that Patrick Graham, the Raiders defensive coordinator, is getting an interview, or I should say the Commanders requesting an interview. We know this. These are going to be two hugely important hires, and, you know, arguably no more important than the offense. And like ESPN's Dan Orlovsky yesterday said, this might be the decision that shapes the NFL offseason.
But perhaps a bit surprising coming out of D.C. What's your reaction to this news?
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Cliff Kingsbury left Washington. Now we'll see why. If that comes out, is he going to become a head coach? Obviously, that would be a different conversation. But if he's leaving just to leave, this is a pretty significant move for Washington. Mm. And I would tell you that it's now the most pivotal decision that will be made in the NFL when it comes to the offseason and what the 2026 season looks like.
Whoa.
Jaden and this team took a significant step backwards this year, and there was a lot of reasons why. But who's going to replace Cliff Kingsbury? Because the third year for the rookie quarterback is the expected year of, hey, there comes this big jump. And there's some pieces that Washington needs outside of just that. But who's going to fill that role to take Jaden and this offense to the next level? Throw out names. Josh McCown from Minnesota. Is he ready to take the next step? Grant Udinski, who's the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. Does he want to go become his own play caller? Davis Webb, who's in Denver as the the quarterback coach. Does he take that next step? And then maybe Mike LaFleur, who had to stop Matt's little brother with the New York Jets, now in L.A. Like, those are names right now that I think have to be at the top of the list.
All right. So he named a bunch of guys. We talked about Grant Udinski yesterday. We mentioned the Davis Webb guy. Mike LaFleur, we mentioned him at the top of the show yesterday. Now, I thought he was still in San Francisco. He's apparently with the Rams and Sean McVay. He was in San Francisco. He's Matt's brother. Brian Daboll was mentioned yesterday. I mentioned several times. Somebody said to me at breakfast this morning, my fraternity brother Will from Phi Sigma Kappa, mentioned Leonard Hankerson. I said, I don't know. I mentioned Leonard Hankerson yesterday. I don't know if somebody else is chirping about Leonard Hankerson. Right? There's no doubt that they are going to get somebody that's interesting. Whether they're really good or not, whether they're capable of snapping their fingers and straightening out everything or not, I don't know. Whether they're a first-time play caller or an experienced play caller, I don't know. I would always value experience. You guys hate retreads. Hate retreads. Hate them. Awful, by the way. Just dreadful how all you new young bucks think. Can't have somebody that was fired once before. I'd like to see your life held to that same standard. Anyway, I mean, Orlovsky basically said look, the offensive coordinator for me is important, but can't be held in the same context as the head coach, I guess, because the head coach has his fingerprints on everything. But the overall point is, because of what you get to work with Jaden Daniels, but also the problems that you're inheriting and dealing with, which are bountiful, it's a polarizing hire. And again, I don't know if you're going to be able to get the guy that you want. And they may already be losing David Blau. He interviewed with Detroit. Now, maybe that forces the Commanders to step up. I don't know. Maybe because they gave him his first big opportunity in coaching, He has a loyalty to them. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get the Detroit job. I don't know. But they may be losing him as well. And they might lose him to Cliff Kingsbury if Kingsbury gets a head coaching job. Don't know. Or you could promote him, or you could promote Anthony Lynn. But going back to the Jordan Schultz report, right? You could do all of this stuff, and it could seem on the surface as great. But if you have meddling, if you have fingerprints, if you have hands in the cookie jar, if you have drama, if you have friction, if you have animosity, if you have division between coaches that are here next year and Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, and whoever else, that's not a good thing. Again, it's not as bad as what used to be. I'm not saying that. But it feels a little bit like we're back in the circus again, doesn't it? All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to AA MCO. Athan in Annapolis, what's up? Double A, how are you?
I'm good, guys. You know, I'll just say this. Joe Gibbs always talked about Jack Kent Cook being a very demanding, tough owner, but he said that he let him do his job at the end of the day. He said, Joe, it's your decision. And then he would ask him, he goes, how much money do I need to go make so you can throw it away? And, you know, it was obviously a joke, but still he let him do his job. And in management, you have to be allowed to do your job. It doesn't mean your boss can't ask questions and can't be hard on you and even be demanding or even overbearing a little bit at times, but you have to be allowed to make the final call. And if the report is that this was going back into last year when they were successful and made the NFC Championship game, I can only imagine how bad it was this year. And you got to remember, these coaches talk. The assistants, you know, position coaches, everybody talks around the league. If the noise out of Washington is that Adam Peters or the owners or whoever is interfering, don't go there, we might not get the best candidates. And, you know, Magic Johnson's been pretty quiet for a while. He's pretty active usually on his ex about all his teams and everything. He's been pretty quiet about his Washington team. And unfortunately, I don't know if DQ has the stones to stand up and say, let me do my you-know-what job, guys, and whatever. Because at the end of the day, there's been some disconnect about players drafted. And, you know, we wanted Bucky Irving, but then AP wanted Johnny Newton and some other things. I mean, I guess some of that goes on no matter what. But this is disturbing to hear. And where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's more to come.
Double A, I appreciate you as always. I would say this. I don't know if this means that that Dan Quinn didn't stand up for himself and have the stones and all that stuff. I think Dan Quinn is a very collaborative type person, is a very work with a lot of people person. I'm the same. Like, people tell me I'm too easy on you guys. I'm too soft on you guys. I let you guys get away with too much. I don't want to be enemies. I want to work with you to make the best radio show we can. AMAC, I bust your chops a lot. You bust my chops a lot.
A lot.
A lot?
A lot.
Okay.
Like, when you say it, just put emphasis, I bust your chops a lot.
You do a pretty good job of busting back.
Nah.
Okay? But,
mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm asking this is, if you're being honest, and I hope that you are, am I difficult to work with?
No.
Am I a jerk to work with?
No.
You're not saying that because your hands are tied behind your back and Cowboy Bob is holding an ice pick over your head, right?
No.
Okay.
I suddenly feel like I'm on like a stand.
Yeah, my point is, you, like, not everybody wants to be an ass to work for and with. You know, CK is the boss when he needs to be the boss. And he's tough when he needs to be tough. But 98% of the time, he's the best boss you're ever going to work for.
But I think that's the thing that Athan was talking about is, like, is DQ the type of guy to say? Because I think what you're getting at is one part of it. Yes, like, there is a collaborative effort that has to take place in a workplace in order for it to to move effectively, and you want people to want to work with you. But there are going to be times, especially on a football field, where your head coach needs to say, hey, everybody shut up, and this is how we're going to do things. And that's for any boss. I'm sure CK had to make that decision. You've had to make that decision. I'm sure everybody is going to have to make that decision. When it comes to players and personnel, I think that needs to be DQ's decision in order for it to be effective.
Right, but as the host of the show, I could say, well, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I could also seek out your counsel and the counsel of others, which I do. And I'm always thinking about how to improve the show and how to make it sound better, flow better, all that, right? Which is why you hear me chirping about things. But there's a difference between, like, if somebody said, hey, man, fire AMAC because they didn't like how you handled something else, I wouldn't fire you. Not that it's my decision, but I wouldn't fire you unless I really felt like there was something that was hurting the show. Or, like, I don't know if I'm saying this right. Meaning, Dan Quinn, I think, was open to moving on from Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if it was completely his decision, but I don't know that he was absolutely committed to staying with it. And again, Jordan Schultz says the sense that he had, or however he worded it, right? The feeling or whatever. He's not saying he knows that. So let's be careful. All right, 10 in front of 3. We'll come on back on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. One thing I wanted to mention about Patrick Graham, unless we already mentioned it, but I'll re-mention it again. I can't remember. My brain works in mysterious ways on the Team 980. The thing I wanted to mention about Patrick Graham, who apparently has been requested to interview for the Commanders defensive coordinator position, and I have no idea what his contract status is, so I don't know if he's on an expiring contract or if you got to wait until the Raiders decide, whatever. Former Giant defensive coordinator. You remember him, right, AMAC?
Who's that? Patrick Graham?
Patrick Graham?
Yeah. I mean, it was a terrible stint, but...
I mean, he didn't have a ton of talent, but when he was there, I don't think. That's my memory. It was before they really, like, I mean, they did have Dexter Lawrence, but it's before they traded for Brian Burns, before they drafted Abdul Carter. You know, just keep that in mind. But he's got, from what I can tell, no direct connection to Dan Quinn. But he did work under Pete Carroll this year. So I think Pete Carroll retained him from the previous staff, I believe. And remember, Antonio Pierce. So he was Antonio Pierce and Josh McDaniels' defensive coordinator, and Pete retained him as the DC. So that's that. So. While he doesn't have a direct connection, per se, to Dan Quinn, he does to Pete Carroll, who I'm sure Dan Quinn has already reached out to and said, hey, what do you think about this? You know, and oh, by the way, wouldn't it be interesting if Pete Carroll still wants to coach? If Pete Carroll was somehow added to the staff as a consultant or an assistant head coach of some type or something. To help out his old buddy Dan Quinn. Wouldn't that be interesting? All right, I'll tell you what. We got to take a timeout to get back on track. Come back 3 o'clock. Again, if you missed Eddie Olczyk, NHL on TNT, we talked about, God, the Olympics, the Caps, the Stars, his battle with cancer, the Kentucky Derby, local racetracks all around the country closing down. Great, 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 great interview, I thought. Hope you enjoyed it. We don't do a lot of them, so enjoy what we've got and what we choose to put on. You can check it out on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. Back in a flash with more on the NFL coaching carousel and what to make out of this Jordan Schultz report next on the Team 980. Stay with us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.